I'm going to need help in the service, so I'm going to need a volunteer at one point. Listen out for that moment. I'm also going to pray, but before I do that, let's just read verse 1 and then verse 21 and 22 together, because this is the heart of the psalm. Verse 1 and then verse 21 and 22. Ready? O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. I want us to look at how the Bible describes someone who is in real trouble. Can you think of a time when you've been in big trouble? I was in big trouble once when I was at school, and I climbed on the roof to get a ball that I kicked up there. And we weren't allowed on the roof, and I got caught. I was sent to see the head teacher, and I had to be punished. I was in real trouble. I've been in trouble when I was out sailing and a rope broke, and I couldn't set the sail, and I was being blown out to sea. Had to be rescued by a motorboat. I was in trouble when I got bitten by some mosquitoes in Kenya, and when I got back to this country, I started feeling very sick. And in the end, they worked out that I had malaria, a really nasty disease that if you don't treat it, can kill you. I was in big trouble, and I had to get sent to the hospital to be fixed. Well, this morning we're looking at a psalm where David describes being in real trouble. Some of it sounds like he is sick, and he probably is. But there is something worse than being sick going on right from the start. Can you see what it is? Psalm 38, verse 1, O Lord, do not tell me off in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. David is in real trouble with God. God is angry with him. Now that's real trouble. When you're in trouble with your teacher, that's bad. When you're in trouble with your mum and dad, that's very bad. When you're in trouble with God, that is worse. Much worse. Because God is more powerful than your teacher or your mum and dad. And David was in trouble with God. He could feel it. And so he says, verse 2, can you read that? Your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down. Now, I don't think God has actually shot arrows at him, but it feels like it. Have you ever had a thorn in your foot? Something's pierced your foot, or you stepped on a nail. That's sore. It really hurts. I've never had arrows go into me, but they must be much worse. David says he feels like arrows have pierced him. You know when I said I got in trouble for climbing on a school roof once? Well, as I climbed down, a teacher came up and put his hand on my shoulder and said, caught you, red-handed. You are going to see the headmaster. Well, we can't hide anything from God. He sees everything. And the thing I was trying to do in secret so as not to get caught, well, God sees it all. And he says, caught you, red-handed. He puts his arm on your shoulder. It feels like it, and you're caught. That's what David was feeling. He knew he was in really bad trouble. Verse 3, because of your wrath, that's anger, there is no health in my body. So he feels sick, awful, because God's angry with him. And then he tells us what the real problem is. Can you see that? He tells us what the real problem underneath everything else is. It's in verse 3 at the end. My bones have no soundness in me because of my sin. He's in real trouble with God because of his sin. He says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. His sin and his feeling bad for doing something wrong are very, very heavy. This is where I need a strong volunteer. Who thinks they could be a strong volunteer for me? Maxwell, could you? Quite strong volunteer. Doesn't have to be very strong. Anybody? Okay, Maxwell, have to be you. Although you are very strong, so this might not work. Right, here we go. Here is a rucksack. Can you put it on, please? Okay. A burden. This one clearly doesn't feel too heavy to bear. I need some more volunteers to come and help me fill this rucksack up. Anybody going to come and help me do that? We need to put some things in it to make it heavier. Come on then. Ted, you can help. Could you get some of those, pick up three of those and put them in? Imagine God has got a record of all the things that you do wrong. And he writes them on a record and he puts them in your rucksack. Everybody's got one. Can you reach up, bend down, Maxwell? Thank you. Let's make it heavier. Every day there are things that you do wrong. These are school reports, actually. It's a bit like this. Imagine this. They go in here. Let's put some more in for another day. Anybody else want to come and put some more in? Load him up. Right, you kneel down. Let's get them all in there. It says here, I have a heavy burden. Imagine we've all got one. We have a rucksack on, one we can never take off by ourselves. And the rest of us load it up until it feels like a burden too heavy to bear. David is in trouble with God and he's got a burden on his back. Now Maxwell is quite strong. But this burden, if you had to carry it for your whole... You can go and sit down, Ted. You just stand there. You have to carry it for the whole of your life. You're not allowed to take it off. When you sin, you have a burden on your shoulders. And it's verse 6, it says, I'm bowed down and brought low. You need to bend over a little bit. Imagine you'd walked 10 miles and you still had this on your back. You probably could, actually. But imagine it was even heavier and you'd had it on for 10 days and not been able to take it off. Okay, good, good. Ever felt like that? Have you ever felt miserable all day long? Finding it hard to do anything? Well, that's this man. That's how he's feeling, because God is angry with him. And then it gets worse. Not surprising if you've got a heavy rucksack on, verse 7. My back is filled with pain. There's no health left in my body. I'm feeble. I'm utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Okay, Maxwell, I think you're not allowed to take it off, but you can sit down and sort of perch for a bit. Do you want to go and sit down over there? Somewhere in the front here. When I hurt my back a few years ago, it took me 10 minutes to get out of bed. It was so sore. Who's ever had back pain like that? Okay, we know what it's really like. And somebody else has to put your socks on for you because you can't bend over to put your own socks on. Really sore. And then it gets worse. Look at verse 5. It says, my wounds fester, and they are loathsome because of my sinful folly. And verse 11 says, my friends avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbours stay far away. Now, we're lucky in this country. If you get a cut or something, a nasty scratch, you can get medicine, you can put it on, and it stops it going bad. But imagine you couldn't, and every cut you got went bad. And it started to go yellow and then blue and black. And then it started to smell. That's what festering means. And maybe flies landed on it and laid their maggots in it, and it really started to smell. Who's been on a road when there's been a dead something killed on the side of the road and you know it's there even if you can't see it? How do you know it's there even if you can't see it? You can smell it. Imagine you feel like you've got wounds that are so horrible they stink. David is in trouble with God, and it feels like he stinks because he's in trouble with God. His sin is making him smell like that to God. So David's in really bad trouble. Who's he in trouble with? He's in trouble with God. God's angry with him. Why is God angry with him? Anyone? His sin. And how does his sin make David feel? Let's put this up. His sin makes him feel awful, like he's been caught and the teacher's got his hand on his shoulder. You're going to get punished. It makes him feel like he's bowed down under a heavy weight that he can't take off, ever. Like his back is in agony and he can't move. Like he's got wounds that are festering and smelling. Verse 13 and 14 says he feels like a deaf man who can't hear a thing, or a mute person who can't even speak. So here is a man who realizes in trouble with God. Does anyone want to swap places with him? Do you? No. No, of course not. Who would ever choose to feel the way David does about his sin? None of us would we? But I've got a surprise for you. No matter how old you are, if you're a granny who is very old, or a small child who is very young, or everyone in between, all of us should feel like David does. It is normal for Christians to feel like this because we all live in God's world and take very little notice of God. That is sin. So can I ask you, have you ever felt, or do you often feel like David does? Do you feel guilty and weighed down sometimes? Do you sense that God is angry with you and as though the things you have done are so bad people don't want to come near you? Well, if you do, good. That is how we should feel sometimes. But what if you don't? What if you can't think of the things that you've done that would make God angry? What if you don't think the things you've done are that bad? What if you look around and you see everyone else being rude to their mums and dads and taking things that aren't theirs and not sharing and disobeying the ones in charge? And you think to yourself, I'm going to do that too, and I don't care what God thinks. Well, that is very, very bad news. Can I say that if you think it's okay to sin and not feel bad about it, you're in an even worse position than David is. Or Maxwell with his great big rucksack on his back that he can't take off. You're worse than that. I can say that because God tells us that none of us, not Fern or Carolyn or Albie or Ollie, not you or me, live in this world the way God wants us to. All of us get things wrong, often deliberately. God tells us again and again what's right and wrong. He does it so we'd stop doing wrong things and would feel guilty. So that we'd cry out to him. We'd say, please God, forgive me. But if we don't ever feel like that, and we aren't ever really sorry, or are just looking for new ways to be naughty or disobedient or get what we want and not think of other people, then it's going to be worse than carrying around a very heavy rucksack for the rest of your life and never being able to take it off. Worse than that because you're choosing to never get better. But look at the good news. It's in verse 15 onwards. David describes how horrid real Christians should feel about their sin, and then he shows how it can still be okay. He shows that even though he feels rubbish for telling lies, have you ever told a lie? Stealing things, have you ever taken something that's not yours? And hurting other people, he knows the one person who can help. He says, I wait for you, Lord. You'll answer, O Lord my God. He's turning his feeling awful about sin into prayer. Look at verse 18. He says, I confess my iniquity. I'm saying sorry, God, for my sin, and I mean it. I'm troubled by my sin. And then the last two verses, Lord, don't forsake me. That means please don't give up on me. Don't be far away from me, my God. Please come quickly and help me, O Lord, my Saviour. So he admits how horrible sin is, and he cries out to God to help him. And that's what all of us should be like too. Admit we're in trouble. Have you done that? Do you admit you're in trouble, real trouble with God? That's the first thing you need to do. This is God's world, and we are living in it, and we should be loving him and loving our neighbour, but we aren't. We're in trouble. And we know what God wants from us, but we don't do it. Now look, it's okay to feel awful about your sin and to know God is angry with you, because King David felt like that. That's what this psalm's about. Have you felt bad for your sin? Has doing something bad and not saying sorry or telling your mum or dad that you've done it made you stay awake at night? Yeah, I have. You haven't said sorry when you should have done, and now it feels like it's too late. Have you ever done that? Well, I can tell you it's never too late. I had somebody last month say sorry to me for something that he'd done 30 years ago when I was at school. He'd felt guilty about it for all that time. And he just said, "Tim, I just want to say sorry for..." And it was amazing, because I remembered it as well. And then he said sorry, and that gave me a chance to forgive him and for us to have a friendship again. It's never too late to say sorry to God. He's waiting for us to say sorry to him so that he can forgive us every day. And he cries out to God for help. "Please don't be miles away from me, God. Come and help me quickly." Now, no one can be friends with God if they won't turn and speak to him like that. You can't just be quite a nice person and think that that's all that matters, because God sees what you're really like. He sees what's going on underneath that nobody else sees. And he is angry with us, all of us. So will you do like King David did and let God show you your sin? Here's a suggestion. Maybe somebody who's close to you, your husband or your wife, or your mum or your dad, could show you ways in which you are disobeying God. Maybe you could ask them, "Could you show me how I'm making God angry? Could you tell me?" Maybe you talk about it at lunch. "Because I want to say sorry to God." When David prayed, he had no idea how a holy God could fix him, but he prayed anyway. And the amazing thing is that God has shown us how he could fix it. David just prayed, "Come quickly, please help me, Lord." But we know that God sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life and then sent him to be killed on a cross. And he did that in our place. He did a swap for us. He said, "Let me take your rucksack off and carry it so that you don't have to." Jesus was the king taking the punishment we deserved. And he won. He was killed for our sin, but he rose again from the dead, showing that he'd beaten it, that our sin had been paid for, that there would be no need for us to carry that great big rucksack around of sin anymore. But you will carry that rucksack if you don't admit you need to say sorry to God every day. So do you ever feel bad about your sin? Feel in trouble with God? Good, we all should. None of us live the way God made us. Do you turn to God and pray to him when you fail to live his way again? Well, if you never have, why not start today? Maybe you don't do it very often. Well, why not do it every day? Cry out to him, "Please, God, forgive me for my sin." You could do it in your family. You could do it on your own. We need to do it in church. We did it at the very beginning of this service. If we don't do it, say sorry to God, we will forget and we will stay in trouble with God. So, Maxwell, stand up. Wouldn't it be great to say, "Sorry, God, please forgive me and take this burden from me"? Why don't you say that? I won't. Go on, say something like that. I would like to do that for you. Not that I can. Only Jesus can do this. And he takes it off. And we're free again. That's what it means to become a Christian. Maxwell, thank you. Do you feel lighter? Let me pray for us, and then we'll finish. Heavenly Father, David wrote about how bad it feels to have you angry with him. please help us to feel the same way, so that we might cry out to you for forgiveness. And please help us to do it daily, to say sorry and ask you to save us. Thank you that we know how you save us through Jesus. Please, if we ever feel that burden of guilt and sin again, remind us to turn to you for forgiveness. Amen.